Intervju Radija Študent.
Lep pozdrav, dragi poslušalci in poslušalke Radija Študent. Smo v terminu intervjuja oziroma RŠ intervjuja. Tokrat je z nami v studiju nizozemska aktivistka iz nizozemskega odbora za Palestino, ki se že vrsto let ukvarja s področjem palestinskega boja za dosego njihovih pravic. Več nam bo povedala o tem, s čem se točno ukvarja v tem odboru, potem o povezavah tega odbora in ostalih odborov v evropski neki mreži teh odborov za Palestino. Seveda bomo pa govorili tudi o tako imenovanem gibanju BDS, to je, če ste včeraj poslušali recenzijo knjige Omarja Bargutija, ste neko osnovno idejo že dobili, gre za gibanje BDS, pomeni Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions. Gre za nek princip, kako preko bojkota izraelskih izdelkov, preko akademskega in tudi kulturnega bojkota, preko umika investicij iz izraelskega gospodarstva in podjetij, ki so povezana z na tak ali drugačen način z okupacijo in seveda sankcijami za samo državo Izrael, nekak prisilt Izrael v spoštovanje mednarodnega prava, v omogočenje zagotavljanja ali pa samo zagotavljanje pravic palestincev. Glavne tri točke tega gibanja so torej končanje okupacije, omogočanje vrnitve vsem palestinskim beguncem, ki so izgnani bliže leta 48, bilo jih je 700 tisoč, zdaj jih je že več milijonov in so razpršeni predvsem v okoliških državah pa tudi po vsem svetu. In seveda tretja zahteva pa je končanje apartheida znotraj izraelske države. V izraelski državi obstaja zelo perfiden in na nek način perfiden, na drug način pa izjemno odkrit, konkreten in brutalen način segregacije med arabskimi prebivalci, tudi državljani in pač judovskimi državljani Izraela. So I would like to extend our welcome here at Radio Student to you, Aurora.
Thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity to speak about Palestine to the Slovenian people.
Yeah, the honor is of course ours. If we start the conversation, before we move on to a more substantial subject of our conversation for today, you come from Netherlands, you're involved heavily in the Netherlands, it's called Netherlands Committee for Palestine, Netherlands Palestine Committee. What exactly is that organization? What's your focus, your function? Just basically a bit about the association.
Well, the Netherlands Palestine Committee was founded a bit more than 40 years ago to support the right of self-determination for the Palestinian people. We do a combination of, on the one hand, informing the public. We'll have public activities where we'll invite speakers and such kind of activities. And we also have all different kinds of protest actions that we do when relevant. And our main focus in this period is the BDS campaign. That's Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions. So the boycott aspect is mainly in front of supermarkets that we give pamphlets to the people to ask them not to buy Israeli products until that time that Israel recognizes international law and respects Palestinian rights. Divestment is pressuring financial institutions and companies and municipalities to not do business with Israeli companies or to divest from those companies. And on a political level, of course, we call for sanctions, although that is always in the very last phase of a struggle.
Your committee in Netherlands, of course, isn't the only one in Europe, as I mentioned in the introduction. There is already a wide web of such organizations and committees all over Europe and I suppose all over the world as well. What can you tell us about this European coordination of committees for Palestine? How big is it? How evolved is it?
Well, ECCP, as we call it, it is a European network. in which from most, at least Western, and we're now trying to find contact with Central and Eastern European organizations, are all affiliated, and we try to make a collective program to do common actions, to coordinate our campaigns and our actions across Europe. Each individual organization is free to do whatever they consider appropriate in their own country. So it's not that ECCP dictates to the organizations how they have to work. But then on another level, we coordinate campaigns and actions on the European level, in which we either support each other or we decide to do a particular campaign on a European level. And it's really important because it brings us into contact with each other. It gives each other ideas. In some countries, activists are sometimes threatened with being taken to trial, so we can support them by like an email bombardment to their governments. And there are campaigns against certain companies that we've carried out across Europe and that has cost them huge amounts of money. And
yeah, we'll come to that, of course, later. This is the ECCP is basically, as I understand it, a platform of
various platforms.
So it's just to make the struggle a bit easier, a bit more coordinated, so every committee for itself can participate in this struggle.
Yeah, because I think everyone would agree that in order to realize a successful struggle, it has to be a global struggle. It doesn't help if just in one country there's activities. And so this is a platform for us to meet and discuss issues, coordinate our actions. We normally meet once every approximately 3 months, and then we're in contact by email in between.
So before we move on to some specific actions being taken by this movement of pro-Palestinian rights movement in Europe, why is the BDS movement, which is kind of a hot movement right now and has been for some years, well, since its first initial call from 2004-2005, it's on the rise, it's ascending, of course, in popularity as well. Why is that important? Just to remind our viewers before we move on to some specific actions.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Palestinians have tried about every means imaginable to obtain their freedom. Everything from armed struggle to diplomatic negotiation. And everything has led to a dead end. And at a certain point, after the International Court of Justice made its ruling that the wall was illegal and that all states were in breach of international law if they were complicit in any aspect of it, not one government really took action. So then the Palestinian civil society, which is a huge, broad-based network of grassroots organizations, everything from political parties, trade unions, human rights organizations, farmers' organizations, women's organizations, almost the entire grassroots movement, put out a call that the only option left is to try to pressure Israel through boycott. Boycott has the advantage that it's an effective pressure middle. We saw that in the struggle against apartheid with South Africa, in which there are many parallels, although there are of course also differences. But on the one hand, it serves to raise awareness among the population. And on the other hand, it is an effective pressure middle to isolate a government which is in breach with human rights and with international law.
It has been for 60 years.
Yeah. And if I can just add, there are three demands in the BDS campaign. One of them is an end to the occupation which took place in 1967 of the West Bank, Gaza, East Jerusalem, and of course the Golan Heights, although that's Syrian, not Palestinian. So an end to the military occupation. The second leg is equal rights for Palestinian citizens in Israel, which make up 20% of the Israeli population. And the other demand is right of return of the refugees. All these three demands are sanctioned by international law. So they are all part of the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people.
Recognized also by the United Nations in
absolutely
numerous, in an infinite number of resolutions. So basically, since the Palestinians have tried everything, as you mentioned, from our struggle to diplomatic, legal way, everything possible, it hasn't led them to much success. And now, even though it's almost a paradox on the first level, the international community is heavily complicit with Israeli action.
Yeah.
And basically now the Palestinians, their civil society is counting on the civil society of that same international community. Of course, there are two different levels. We're talking about civil society and then the heads of state, I mean the political elite, which of course reacts in a different way. But the Palestinians are now, via BDS movement, counting on the action of people outside Israel and outside Palestine to force Israel into compliance with international law.
Yeah, in collaboration with the Palestinians, because there's a very close contact between the BNC, which is the Boycott National Committee of the Palestinians themselves. There's a very close contact between them and the international movement. And there is contact with certain Israeli organizations, Jewish Israeli organizations, which are also totally supporting the BDS campaign.
If we name a few.
The most prominent, it's called Boycott From Within. And they completely endorse the Palestinian BDS call. They're extremely active. They're putting a lot of their focus on musicians right now. They've been very successful as Israeli citizens to convince international musicians to not play in
Israel. The Pixies, Elvis Costello, a lot of big names.
Yeah, Roger Waters from Pink Floyd. He's very actively supporting the campaign. He's put a few videos on YouTube about it.
There was a round table in the Faculty of Social Sciences in Ljubljana here in December about the idea of the boycott, and of course our listeners were able to listen to the report from that round table, so hopefully they're a bit familiar with the whole concept. If we go now to the specific actions being taken by the supporters of the BDS in Europe, you have some experience there in that field. Concretely, how does it go down?
Well, let me first just define boycott. That is something that normal citizens can do. When we're talking about divestment, we're talking about companies, municipalities, pension funds, things like this that have investments in Israeli companies. And sanctions, that's on a government level. So we'll divide these up. Boycott actions, a lot of it is geared to supermarkets that sell Israeli products. I don't know which ones would be here in Slovenia, but in each country, the activist movement has investigated. So we stand, for example, with banners calling for a boycott of Israeli products, and we have pamphlets. On the one hand, we explain why to boycott Israel, so something about the Israeli dispossession of the Palestinian people, and why the boycott, what BDS is, and on the other side, we have photos of the different products, so everyone knows which products we're talking about. There are also campaigns about against a company, I don't know again what you have here in Slovenia. There is a company called Ahava, which sells beauty products made from minerals from the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea shores, it's all expropriated Palestinian land. And Israel is selling it as Israeli products.
Between Jordan and the West Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, but also in the West Bank. There are whole areas of the West Bank, you know, that... And the products are being made in Jewish-only settlements on Palestinian land in the West Bank. And so the Ahava campaign has been really successful. And it's also a European-wide campaign. So basically, the first step is to investigate what Israeli products are in each specific country and take action against them. Of course, any actions that are already being carried out on a European scale has much more force to it. So that's basically about the boycott campaign. Divestment, a good example, the main exporter of Israeli agricultural products is called Agrexco. We've been taking action against it for a long time. It just went fallit. An Irish company was going to take it over. We sounded the alarm throughout Europe, and the Irish company was bombarded by emails from across Europe and warning them they would be the next target of the BDS campaign, and they pulled back. And now, just yesterday or 2 days ago, an Israeli company bought it because no European company wants to dirty their hands on it. The risk is too big. We have a huge campaign against Veolia, which does many different things, but mainly it's a big transportation company. I also saw here in Ljubljana the buses are contracted by Veolia. In many municipalities, we have now been successful that when their contract has expired, to not renew it and or not let them bid, enter into the bid for new contracts. They've lost billions and billions of euros because of it, and now they are becoming in financial problems. Different trade unions, the German National Bank, different municipalities, universities, pension funds, there's a long list, have all divested from Israeli companies because of pressure from Palestine solidarity activists.
Behind every such action, of course, there is some, beside moral, also legal justification.
For example,
if we talk about Veolia, the problem here is, just to let our listeners know, it's involved in the light rail, the Jerusalem light railways, like a city railway connecting West Jerusalem and occupied East Jerusalem and some neighboring settlements.
But only the Jewish Israeli parts of occupied East Jerusalem.
Yeah. So what they try to do with this project de facto is to connect these illegal settlements and unite them with West Jerusalem, so to legitimize the Jerusalem as a capital of the Jewish state, which is by international law, as I am aware, illegal.
Absolutely.
It's illegal to build infrastructure allowing illegal settlements to survive or to thrive, and every company which is involved in such project is basically violating connected to violation of international law. So that would be some legal basis to oppose their participation, and that is of course the raison d'etre behind the actions taken against Veolia, which were heavily effective. One of those companies which is connected with Veolia in that project in East Jerusalem is also Alstom, which our listeners would be glad to hear is also implicated in the new project, the highly controversial project in Slovenia with the building of the sixth block of thermonuclear plant in Šoštanj. So this is a billion plus euro big project, worth project. So it would be nice to know if there could be some action taken against Alstom in Slovenia as well.
Yeah,
If they have not taken themselves out of the project, as I think they are still implicated. A couple of months ago, half a year ago, something like that, a French Court of Appeal has ruled that they have the jurisdiction to try Alstom as a French multinational because of its implications in the project in Jerusalem. So there, it's not easy for those companies anymore to do business as usual.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the BDS campaign, to be honest, it grew like a wildfire. No one expected that we would actually cause serious economic damage in such a short term. And not only that, the Israeli government is totally panicking now. They came out with a new law against boycott. But the government officials and business people and all kinds of Yeah, from all kinds of official sides, they are really saying that for the first time in the history of Israel, their legitimacy is being questioned. And this is the biggest threat to them. And this is bigger than any military threat that there could possibly ever be.
Just the fact that they have accepted, they have passed this anti-boycott law, just means that evidently the state of Israel is afraid of the magnitude this movement could present itself in the future.
Yeah.
We have to conclude this interview. It's already 6:30. Just to conclude with some details, where some data where the viewers and the listeners could find some more information about or the work of your organization, or this European Coordination of Committees for Palestine, or the BDS movement in general.
Yeah, there are a number of websites. Possibly you may want to link on your website. I will
post the links when I'll post the interview.
There is an international BDS movement website, and there are updates about everything going on as far as BDS goes, and I don't have the website.
I think it's bdsmovement.net.
Yeah.
Something.
I'm not sure where the dot is exactly. And then... yeah, that is actually the main BDS website. Then there's certain other connected websites. PACBI is the Palestinian Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel. And they also have a website. Mm. And many of the affiliated organizations to the BDS campaign. For example, Stop the Wall, which is working very much against the apartheid wall. Mm-hmm. Badil, which is working on refugee rights. It's considered the major authority on research and refugee rights. Mm. But I can give you a list of websites that maybe
we'll be sure to post it
side.
On our website, so people just check out radiostudent.si, and you'll find besides the audio of this interview, you'll find some links which will go and make it easier for you to find some more information. I would like to thank you, Aurora, for coming to the studio of Radio Student. Wish you all the best in the future, and we'll keep in contact.
And can I just send one short message, that until now Slovenia is not part of our European network. It's urgent that it become so. So everyone, please get active and support the rights of the Palestinian people. Thank you.
Evo, slišali ste poziv nizozemske aktivistke, ki pozna področje palestinskega boja za dosego svojih pravic. Torej pozive, njene pozive k temu, da se tudi v Sloveniji organizira neko tako gibanje. Kot mi je dejala v pogovoru pred intervjujem, je dovolj, da se zbereta 2, 3, 4 posamezniki in se pač gibanje zaživi. Še posebej bi radi pripadniki tega gibanja razširali to mrežo po celi Evropi, kot smo slišali, so manj prisotni v vzhodni, v srednji, v vzhodni Evropi in tako naprej. Tako da vsekakor v Sloveniji obstaja še dovolj rezervnega prostora za raziskovanje tudi tega področja. Moje ime je bilo, oziroma je Boris Vasov. Hvala lepa za spremljanje in lep pozdrav še naprej.
Intervju Radija Študent.